The Haynesboro's Personnel Committee will recommend Mayor Hill for the acting manager job, and addiction recovery leads a Haynes Carver to his healing art. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories up next. Mayor Jan Hill could take on the role of Haynes' acting borough manager if the plan gets the go-ahead from the Assembly. The Personnel Committee today voted 3-2 in favor of recommending Hill for the position. The committee also voted to recommend the Assembly hire an executive search firm to find the next permanent manager and police chief. The Personnel Committee is headed up by Assemblymember Mike Case and includes Diana Lapham, Ron Jackson, Margaret Friedenauer, and manager Dave Sosa. This week, they were tasked with whether to endorse hiring an outside agency to help with the search for a couple of key borough positions. They also went into executive session, which is a closed-door meeting, for nearly an hour to talk about who could fill in as manager when Sosa leaves on December 4th. After the debate, they decided on Hill. Sosa, Case, and Lapham voted in favor, while Friedenauer and Jackson wanted Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan to fill the manager post. If the Assembly approves the decision and she accepts, Hill would serve as both mayor and manager simultaneously. The position would begin when Sosa leaves next week and end on December 31st. Here's Sosa.
This has happened in the borough before, and I did speak with the borough attorney who reviewed code and said he was comfortable that our code supports this.
Sosa said Case took over as manager on two separate occasions while he was serving as mayor years ago, so this is nothing new. In the more recent past, however, the borough clerk took over as manager, though Sosa said that's not a viable option this time. Next in line would be department heads or the chief financial officer, but neither of those are on the table either. Sosa recommended an elected official because they know the process and are familiar with the current issues facing the administration. Friedenauer said she nominated Ryan instead of Hill because the professional boundaries are less fuzzy.
I think having a borough official in the administration take over managerial duties is more in line with manager duties than having someone in the mayor's office do it, because then you're crossing legislative branches. I'm not opposed to Mayor Hill doing it. I would prefer a borough department head do it just because I think it's cleaner and less confusing. But I am okay, and I'll be supportive of Mayor Hill doing it, no problem.
Friedenauer added that she's confident that Hill would recuse herself should a tie-breaking vote arise that could be a potential conflict. The Personnel Committee also decided unanimously to recommend the Assembly hire a firm to do the heavy lifting when it comes to hiring a permanent manager and police chief. An amendment to that motion includes the recommendation that the Assembly look into the costs of two searches and what the discount is for a package deal. Interim Police Chief Robert Griffiths departs Haynes this week, and for now, Sergeant Joshua Dryden is taking on the role of acting chief. The drawback of hiring an outside firm came down to mostly cost. The agency would take care of learning about the community, asking locals what they want in their next chief, recruiting the candidates, doing the background checks, and the initial interviews. But the service rings in around $20,000, not including travel expenses to get the candidates to Haynes for subsequent interviews. And the price tag could be a lot more if the borough employs the firm to hire both a chief and a manager. The committee agreed the job of finding two qualified, dedicated individuals to fill the roles is a hefty burden and would take a lot of local resources if borough staff were to take it on themselves.
I called Wrangell, I called Petersburg, I called Sitka, my hometown. All these communities have used firms in their municipality, their highest positions of hire, and I have not heard any derogatory or bad things that these municipalities had to say about firm hire. If they had to do it all over again, they'd use a firm.
That's Lapham. She said it's about time the borough takes a more professional approach to its hiring. And with the firms offering a money-back guarantee, maybe this time the new employees will stick around for a while. During the holiday season, KHNS is airing StoryCorps segments recorded by the Juneau Public Library with Haynes and Clukwan residents. The first one features Wayne Price, a Tlingit master carver and artist. He and his wife, Sherry, talk about his work, including a healing totem he carved in Whitehorse.
My name is Wayne G. Price. I'm 58 years old.
My name is Sherry Rakers Price. I'm 57 years old.
My wife and I, she came into my life right after I sobered up. And we have dedicated our whole life and business to creation of monuments. And the next one we're going to do is also going to be what we call a healing totem. They became a healing totem as a result of a vision in a sweat lodge that led to my recovery. The creator told me I had to do a few things. They said I had to make a healing dugout and a healing totem. These monuments, I'm taking the art to where we're using monuments to bring awareness. You know, we think of the healing totem we did in Whitehorse. It was 40 feet. And that's the only monument for the awareness of the boarding schools and residential schools in the United States and Canada and Australia. I'm a descendant of boarding school. And my dad went to the Wrangell Institute. And these were not very great places, but we did the healing totem in the Yukon. Said, this is our past. This is what happened to us. It is not a good story. This is the present. This is, he said, there's only one race. It's the human race today. And we're all here now. And we're all being aware of each other. And it has to, if there's going to be a healing in America, it has to be acknowledged what happened. And it was the government-backed, through faith-based religion, for the destruction of First Nation people, colonization. And until that happens, then this wound will never heal.
Did you grow up knowing about boarding schools?
My dad talked about it, and there were some good experiences. So, there's some people that went far, and Al Kukesh went all the way to Congress and the White House. He's from Angoon, and he said it was a great experience. He got his education, you know, so there were good stories as well. A lot of the issues that are in Indian country now are a direct result from what happened to them through the boarding schools. It'll keep coming back. You know, the suicide rate in Alaska is the highest in all the nation. And majority of that is Native people. There's definitely something going on. And there has to be an awakening. And there has to be an apology. It has to be recognized what really happened. Instead of not being talked about, it has to be talked about. Mm-hmm. And then a healing can occur.
I know growing up in school, I never heard of a residential school or boarding school until I knew you. I grew up as a non-Native person in a non-Native community, and people don't know. I remember asking my mom, because the town we lived in was called Waldwick. Did I ever tell you about that? Waldwick means light in the woods. And I asked her, she said, oh yes, that was the name of when the Indian people lived here. Waldwick meant light in the woods. And I said, well, where are those Indian people? She's like, I don't know, honey. I don't know. And I wonder if more people did know, it would be a bigger voice to demand that apology. I wish more people did know.
I don't have the answer. I just know that you can sit by the totem and feel something.
Yeah,
and
I do.
You feel it. If you knew nothing about it, you could sit there and you'll still feel something. At the end of the vision in the sweat lodge, the creator told me, he said, when you hear the songs of your ancestors coming across the water, sung by young people, I'm done. And when we did the dugout in the Yukon, and the kids paddled away, singing, I looked at my wife and I said, there it is. I have lived to see my vision complete. I saw it through, and I'll still see it through.
Haynes Master Carver Wayne Price with his wife Sherry Price, produced by Emily Files with the Juneau Public Libraries and StoryCorps, a national nonprofit whose mission is to provide Americans of all backgrounds and beliefs with the opportunity to record, share, and preserve their stories. More information at StoryCorps.org. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.